same time. Some pressure on the open doors button kept the elevator where it was. One of the guards peered in, saw an empty car, and told the slaves to enter. They did so, cowering at the back, and the guards followed, standing across the front, their backs to the slaves. For a moment I wondered why, but they had no fight left in them, and once the doors opened again, they wanted to be able to deal with anyone they found outside. In fact, one of them waved several other people off, while another punched the door's closed button. They remained open. I force-punched each of them in the head and pushed them out of the elevator. Before they were even on the deck, I released the door control, punched the close button, and pressed the next level down. The doors closed, we went down a short way, and the doors opened. The slaves stood there, looking at each other. One of them seemed to get a grip on himself, and he turned to the others. "Run, you idiots!" He ran. The others took a little longer to realize no one was going to hurt them, and one by one they left the elevator. I rode it down another level, stepped out, and went looking for a drink. I had no idea if any of them would remain free, but at least I'd given them a chance. 23. On the way out system, I did some research on shipping companies. I quickly found there were hundreds of major companies all vying for the same freight, as well as thousands of independents. And this was just the local area of space. The larger companies apparently had ships all over, where smaller ones specialized in specific areas of space, and the independents went wherever they could get the work. The larger companies tended towards fixed routes. The smaller ones tried to fill in the gaps or join other planets into those routes, and the independents went wherever the freight available sent them. Which seemed to be in contrast to the amount of freight available here, and a decidedly lacking number of freight movers. All the material readily available suggested there were too many freighters and not enough freight, but this didn't seem to be the case, at least here. I thought of asking Jenna, but one look at her face told me to get lost and stay there. Anyway, the reason for the research was to identify who the bad outfits were. The ones with not-so-good reputations, the ones who broke the rules but managed to get away with it more often than not. In other words, the ones an honest thief could rob and feel good about doing it, or at the least, not suffer Jenna's wrath afterwards. That Jenna had a wrath level, I didn't doubt for a second, and I also didn't doubt the need to avoid being anywhere near her when it went off. Underneath that drop-dead gorgeous exterior was an ice-cold metal skeleton, and if her velvet glove ever hit you, the metal underneath would do serious damage. No doubts at all. I'd seen drill sergeants who looked the same, and would have stepped well clear of her if they saw her. She was worried about her crewmate. I understood. She didn't need to take it out on me, though. I was on her side. I stopped and pondered that. Yes, I was on her side. Anyone who took slaves was also on my shit list, and I wasn't at all sure if I saw someone torturing a slave again, I'd be able to stop myself from killing them on the spot. I dragged my thought processes back to the task in hand. I'd spent enough time on this ship already to know it well enough to move things around inside, with only minimal checking. To test this, I created a pallet-sized metal box in the main cargo hold and moved it straight into my own personal cargo hold, specifically to the number one pallet position. It could hold up to 12 standard containers too high and had individual positions for 36 pallets. I'd already committed the layout to memory. Rather than using my sight, I took the time to walk there and confirmed the imitation pallet was in the correct place. I ducked out the hatch and did the same with a container-sized version. Poking my head in, I could see it was also sitting correctly. With a thought, I crushed both into a solid ball and moved them to a storeroom for later use. As a pirate ship, the cargo capacity was pitiful, but it was also fitted out as a slaver. So fast, armed, and able to take the choice cargoes and enslave the crews. There was something wrong with this picture, but I couldn't pick it. Something to ponder when staring at the deep dark next. My next stop was my own bridge, where I sat watching the displays, looking for a likely target. There were a number of ships heading out system the same as we were. Most of them were a lot bigger than us. All of them were slower. I watched as we overtook the first one. The closest we came was 5 kilometers, which defined my next test. Was I able to look into a ship as far away as this was? I drew on power and opened my sight, starting with the bridge. It was a lot larger than any I'd seen so far, with more people on it, making me wonder what all of them actually did. Not that I really cared. I started moving from room to room, pausing to watch a nice-looking lady in the shower, but forcing myself to find the cargo bays. I found a small one first, obviously used for boxes rather than pallets, and started reading labels. Time for a distance test. The label on the box said it contained gold-class meals. I reached for it, and a blink later, it was sitting in the middle of my bridge. I stripped the fastening off the top and took out one of the meal trays. It was almost identical to the ones I'd first encountered after being taken. I grinned to myself, placed the tray back in the box, and moved it to my kitchen. Now for something harder. I sat once more, concentrated my sight, until I found the main cargo hold and began looking at these labels. Nearest the airlock, the containers were all standard freight, labeled with the sender, the shipper, and with a destination I had no idea if we were going to, but suspected not. I worked my way down the container rows, until halfway back I started finding labels indicating no sender or receiver. Each stated what and how much was in the container, most of them full of the same items. Here, it seemed, was the crew's investment cargo, which they'd paid for themselves and were hoping to make a profit on at their next port. Much of it was bulk food, indicating to me the planet we were heading away from was a food producer and their next stop was not. I gathered power and was about to move a container to see if I could do it when I remembered I hadn't checked if the ship was on my naughty list or not. I let the power go and pulled up my list, comparing the details showing on my main screen, which I vaguely remembered Jenna had called heads-up display, or HUD, which was supposed to show me everything of note in the system. Mental note for a dead time, I needed to do some playing with the buttons for the screen and learn it better. For now, though, this ship wasn't on my naughty list. I sighed and went back to watching the lady in the shower. By the time she was dried and clothed, I was aware holding the sight was taking more and more effort, so I released it and sat there looking at the deep dark instead. I sighed. So now, as well as being a thief, I was a peeping thorn. It wasn't new, of course. I'd peeked at lots of girls once I'd found my magic again, but this was the first time I'd used it to while away time. "Hi," said a voice I'd never heard before from the doorway. I was so startled, I fell out of my chair. 24. "Sorry, did I disturb you?" I picked myself up guiltily and stood there facing her. She was wearing the same sort of clothes Jenna did while on ship, so either her clothes and stuff had been in the pallets with Jenna's, or Jenna had been shopping for her in anticipation of freeing her. "Not really. Just doing some in-depth navel gazing." "Anything interesting?" "Pondering what I'm becoming." "Ouch. I tried that once. Never again." She sounded like she should be smiling, but there was no smile on her face. I guess slavery did that to you. My first time. She limped over and extended her hand. I took it, expecting it to be crushed, but her grip was limp. I let go, waved her to a chair, and sat myself. I'm Jessica. Jen said you got me out. Thank you. You're welcome. She's had a lot to say about you, but not a lot of it makes any sense. Do you want it to make any sense? Probably. I'm too out of it with painkillers at the moment to understand much of anything. Give me a day or two to catch up. But I gather you tried to buy Jen, and when the bids went too high, you succeeded in springing her, and was the main reason you both made it away. I nodded. She looked at me speculatively. She says you do magic? Yes. Where I came from, it was quite common. And you magically jumped me off that terrible ship? Yes. I'm sorry he hit you after I broke his remote. Not your fault. No one but someone who knew that bastard could have predicted his reaction. Jen says you might have killed him? It's possible, but I was trying to make him sick enough to want to leave in a hurry, which worked. I couldn't do anything until you were alone. Never having done it before, it's hard to know if it was enough or too much. His sort have so much luck. I bet he's already up and barking orders again. I didn't look, and I doubt Jenna thought to, since she was so worried about you. She didn't. Why didn't you? Don't know how. Checking hospital admissions is easy. I'm still adapting to this new world I've fallen into. How to do a lot of things is still on my to-do list. Ask me if you need help. I owe you. Don't ask Jen, though. I worked that out already. What's her problem? Jen? Men. I laughed. A flicker of a smile turned up one end of her mouth, but it was only a flicker. That much is obvious. The look of contempt she gave everyone at the auction, standing there naked in front of them, still gives me the shivers. Her problem goes a lot further back than that. I know she's as grateful as I am for being rescued, but the damage to her goes too deep. It's no surprise she banished you to here. In fact, I'm mildly surprised she didn't leave you behind. She told me not to leave the ship. I didn't. When we left, I noticed she made no attempt to check if I was aboard or not. I paused, waited. Her look said, "Ask the question." Who broke her? Interesting question. That bastard was in the process of breaking me, but that isn't what you're referring to, is it? No. I get the impression she'd rather die than be some man's plaything, which means she was broken by someone else, and not recently. I mean, if looks could kill, everyone back at that auction would have dropped dead. She used to be able to do that even before. Her bark is almost lethal, but her looks were legendary. Can I ask what happened? I can't tell you much. I made an intuitive leap. She was military, wasn't she? We both were. She was the most promising junior command officer in the fleet. Half the time, she didn't need to even say anything to crew. One look, and it got done. She was fast track towards her own command. And? The captain raped her. And worse than that, he got away with it. Higher ranks ignored it and covered it up. Her attempt to bring charges was held against her. She was transferred to dead-end duty. I sighed. She resigned and went home to her parents. 2 months later, some drunk idiot killed them in a freak accident. When the paperwork was sorted, she flew the ship they'd left her to where I was and talked me into resigning the service and crewing for her. I've been with her ever since. Something unexpected popped in. Was the idiot linked to the captain at all? She looked shocked and stared at me for a good minute. Fuck! I waited. It never occurred to us, but it's very possible. Why the hell didn't that occur to us? Damn it to hell! I knew at the time there was something hinky about the accident, but it never occurred to either of us it was a hit. It was just a random event at a very bad time. I kept waiting. Don't tell Jen. She's not ready for that kind of revelation. I won't. Good. I'll tell her at the right time, once we have Leanne back. She noticed my eyebrow go up. Leanne is, our cargo handler. Ship this size is supposed to have at least one. Ex-military as well? Yes. We couldn't trust anyone we didn't already know. Which is why she's having such a hard time with me. Apart from being male? Most likely. Trust is earned, and in her case, it usually takes years. I'll be gone before then, I hope. Gone? Where? My deal with Jenna is she takes me home. For now, though, we don't know where it is. And for now, you're too useful. Hopefully. We need guns. If we get boarded ever again, I want to be able to shoot them. Why didn't you have guns? Never thought we'd need them. We trade. We're always on the move, and we stay away from the military. So how did you get taken by slavers? Still don't know. We should have been on a safe route. They took us as we down-jumped, never had a chance to run, never saw it coming. So they knew you were coming. She went totally still. Say the rest of it. Her voice sounded like metal grating on metal. Someone set you up. Her whole body shook. Fuck! Fuckity! Fuck, 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 fuck! Her fist bounced off the chair arm as she said it. I waited. She eventually managed to get a grip. Guns! We need guns! I made one appear in her lap. She stared at it for a moment, picked it up, extended her arm, and sighted along it. She wasn't pointing it at me. How many do we have? I don't recall, but we did relieve a few people on our way off the slaver station. It's a start. If I show you what I want, can you make it? Stealing's quicker. For the first time, I saw her smile. 25. So you are a thief. Is that what you were pondering when I came in? Becoming a thief. I'm not sure yet if this is a temporary thing or a career choice. Mostly it's been a need for funds, and stealing proved to be really easy for me. I don't steal everything, if it makes you feel better. But you could steal us heavy weapons if I showed you where they were. Probably. What else? Actually, I was working on that before you interrupted my navel gazing. Any ships out there you don't like? She pointed straight at one of the icons showing ahead of us, no hesitation at all. That one is owned by the bastard who bought me. His son was the one who was torturing me. I looked and smiled at her. It's on my naughty list. I explained how I'd made it. What were you planning? My little cargo bay can handle a dozen containers. When we caught up with a ship on my list, I was going to check them for saleable cargoes and relieve them of an even dozen. Won't they notice? No way of telling. If I take them from the rear of the hold, they might not until they take out everything in front, or someone might check them regularly and notice immediately. Doubtful. Leanne never bothered. Containers and pallets in, accounted for, checked off, and job done. At the other end, all in reverse order. In the middle, she did what we all tend to do. What's that? Anything which relieves the boredom. I chuckled. What sort of range do you have? No idea. I took a pallet of food off a ship earlier, from 5 kilometers away. She whistled. That's about as close as we ever get. It'll be a while before we're close enough. Can I ask a question? Shoot. Have you any idea how stupid joining up 4 ships is? I laughed. Nope. I know nothing about ships, although I do know a lot more about sewage systems now. The smile flickered on again, but only for a second. You do know this was impossible, don't you? Even a shipyard wouldn't attempt it. We told the station the pirates did it. Yeah, maybe they would. You want to know the stupidest thing about it? What? It worked. You positioned them exactly right. I couldn't have done it better myself. The whole thing needs balancing and tweaking, which is going to keep me busy for weeks, but it will work. I don't get why only two of the engines are working, though. The power plant for this ship is supplying me the energy I need to do what I do. Ah, sometime we need to talk about that. She gave me a speculative look. If I find some bolt-on automatic gun turrets, can you add them where I tell you to? Only one way to find out. I think I'm going to like you. I grinned at her. What's not to like? You're not female? Ah, that. You have any food handy? I waved her towards the kitchen. She came back with one of the gold-class meals, a bottle of white wine, and a single glass. A tap on one end of the console turned it off, and she laid her meal down on top. I watched her eat, as if she hadn't eaten ever before. I hadn't yet figured out how to bring a cooked meal to me. It made me get up off the chair and move, making me realize how long I'd been sitting there. I came back with a snack and a beer. "Are you old enough for that?" "The beer?" "Yes." Where I was when taken, I'd just turned legal. I've no idea if I am here or not, and don't care. Don't get drunk. Jen will toss you out an airlock. I raised the bottle and saluted her. She went back to eating. After we were both finished, we sat there in silence, watching the HUD show us creeping up behind her selected target. At 10 kilometers, I closed my eyes, drew on my power source, and cast my sight at the ship. I could feel it was a bit too far, but I was able to see inside the hull. "Can you show me what you're seeing?" I jerked back abruptly and looked at her. "Sorry. Did that hurt?"
"No, just wasn't expecting it."
"Any chance I can see what you do?"
I had no idea.
"Tell me how you do it." She thought about it. "You can copy things, I hear."
"Yes."
"So copy what you see there to a screen here." I blinked at her rapidly. "It could work."
"Which screen?"
She quickly cleared one of the side screens, leaving it on but displaying nothing. I concentrated. My sight cleared inside the ship, and I added the intent to copy the visual to the screen.
"Nice," she said softly.
"Find the main cargo hold, down 2 levels, and it's most of that deck." I went down 2 levels. The first level down went through a bedroom, and I paused for a moment, looking at a couple having sex. There was a gasp beside me, and I moved down without further comment. The next deck down was indeed the main cargo hold, and appeared to have hundreds of containers stacked 3 high. I went directly to the back and started in on the top-level labels. Most of it made little sense to me.
"Wow! It's like a hole bored through the container in front of it, allowing us to read something which otherwise couldn't be.
Go back." I nearly lost the connection, but did as she said.
"Nice. That one, please."
I concentrated harder, felt more power flowing through me, and moved the container into my little cargo bay. She popped up a view of the bay, and there it was, perfectly positioned.
"Not bad for a first try," I chuckled.
I was actually practicing earlier, moving a mock-up between the main cargo bay and that one.
"Ah, next label."
She had me take another 11 containers. By the time I was done, I was sweating, but my head wasn't in any pain. I brought myself back and found her looking at me intently.
"Can you do more than one at a time?"
"No idea."
"Why?"
"Because I want to stick it to them."
"You want more?"
"I want every cargo bay on this ship full of their cargo."
Jenna said she wouldn't have anything to do with piracy. Yes, I heard that speech a while back. Maybe this is a once-of, but let's do it while we can. I'll take the heat for it. Those bastards owe me, and since I can now take what they owe, I want it. I want it bad. Let's see the next lot of labels. After, she hit a button. Jen, slow us down a bit, will you? I want to stay less than 10 kilometers from the nearest ship for a bit. What the hell are you two up to? Tell you later. Will I like it? Probably not. There was a groan, and the comm shut off. The level of trust between these two was showing. We looked at every container and pallet on the ship, Jessica making a map indicating if she wanted each one or not. She showed me a block of 12 containers too high and suggested one of the other small cargo bays to move them to. I concentrated, drew power, and moved all 12 as if they were one, which they basically were, given they were all touching. An hour later, and I was drenched in sweat and very close to exhaustion. Every nook and cranny on this combined ship was stuffed full, and yet we'd taken less than 10% of the other ship's load. Probably just as well, that was all we could take. I looked at her expectantly. The power plant you're using is redlining. If you take any more from it, it'll probably melt down. The smile was firmly on her face this time. She told Jenna to push us back up to cruising speed, as if we'd been having problems. She looked back at me. One last thing before you go get some rest. I waited. If you ever use that sight thing to look in on Jen and she finds out, she'll kill you. 26. What the bloody hell is that? Jenna was pointing at a line on the ship's main account. Rent. Rent? Rent. She looked at me, waiting. Cargo hold rent. She sighed, removed the display, and left. I sighed in relief when she was gone. She hadn't liked the fact we'd ripped off a ship full of cargo, especially without her knowing. She'd ripped us both new ones. We were so far behind the ship Leanne was thought to be on, it was long gone from the next system Jenna had expected to find it in. We'd taken the opportunity to dock and offload our cargo, which sold rapidly and at very good prices. I'd downloaded a new set of books, found a local dessert I really loved and bought it in bulk, and otherwise stayed out of Jenna's way until Jessica messaged me to say it was safe for me to return. Before we undocked, a huge payment hit my account, and I worked out it was a full 50% of the cargo sales. I checked, and Jessica had the other half. I'd calculated 10% of my share and transferred it to the ship account before transferring most of the balance to my legit card. Hence, rent. I understood why she wanted nothing to do with it, but I also understood the ship needed funds to operate with. She now knew I understood both. I learned later Jessica had followed my lead. Jessica had been working on the ship rebalance, as she called it, from well before I woke up after the cargo move. I'd woken to find my power source was gone, my head aching, and found her doing some serious maintenance on it. The power source, not my head. She assured me it would be working much better than before, well before I needed it again. A doctor had once said the same thing about my head, but I think I actually believed Jessica. The tablet helped my head, but I felt in withdrawal from the power. Perhaps I was. The days had passed, and I always found her working happily doing something in one of the engine rooms. A few times she'd had me make replacement parts, and once she had me look inside a sealed box so she could see if it really was broken or not. It turned out to be something easily fixable by me, but not by anyone else, and seeing we didn't have a spare for it, it turned out I was useful. A day out of where we offloaded the cargo, she dropped a heavy spanner unexpectedly, and her swearing made me jump.
Sorry.
No problem. I've heard worse. You know what the worst thing about being a slave is?
No.
What?
Everything.
I nodded sagely and waited for her to go on. Not enough food, no exercise, repeated torture, constant humiliation. I get the picture. That's not my point. The worst thing is they all collude to make you weak. I mean physically weak. I've used that spanner hundreds of times and never dropped it before. I'm as weak as a bloody kitten. How can I help?
That's what I like about you. The average male would be suggesting I use a gym regularly and offering to buy me the membership. Not you. You ask what I need. It's very female.
No need to get insulting. We both laughed. Now the ice was well and truly broken. I found she laughed often. I asked the obvious question. Why isn't there a gym on the ship?
Never needed one.
The normal routine was 3 or 4 days in space, 3 or 4 days on a station. I run the cargo bay loop on board and have gym memberships on stations. It worked nicely to keep me in shape.
And now?
I can't leave the ship. As an escaped slave, especially given how prominent the shithead who bought me is, going out on a station would be stupidity of a high order, since they undoubtedly have a bounty out on me.
What about Jenna?
The slaver probably has a bounty out on her, too, but their reach isn't as great as the complete fuckwit who'll be wanting me back. And if you hadn't noticed, when she does leave the ship, she is armed.
I hadn't noticed.
So, back to how can I help?
I guess I need a gym on the ship somewhere.
Show me what you need, and I'll try and make it for you.
Thanks. I will when I get this mess fixed.
Thank me when it all works. If it doesn't, we'll go to Plan B.
Plan B?
We steal it, we both said together, and laughed. I left her to it. Sometime later, I was doing my ritual stargazing when the HUD beeped at me. I saw a set of schematics and a ship plan with a room ringed. I checked the room to see what was in it and how big it really was and found it empty. An hour later, the room was full. Most of the time had been spent doing a lot of searches to see how each thing actually worked before I could try to make one. When I say searches, I mean following the links Jessica had listed for each thing she wanted. I'd never have figured out how to find them on my own. My power source was back up by now, and feeling even more powerful than before, I methodically worked through the list. Not so much as a single drop of sweat as a result, and not even a throb in the temple. I sent word to try things out, and settled down again with a new book. Just as the hero was about to go out the airlock in only his boxers, Jessica came running in, pulled me out of my chair, raised my arm not holding my tablet, and high-fived me vigorously. She hugged me next, dropped me back into my chair, and was gone. I sat there in shock for several minutes, rose, and came back from the kitchen with a beer. I really needed a drink. 27. 2 systems later, after having extracted ship movement data each time and done some real freight haulage to each, we down-jumped into the system we expected to find our next target in. "Shut down your engines and prepare to be boarded." The voice was male, with substantial command in it. The HUD feed I was getting from the main bridge highlighted a ship ahead of us. It was much the same shape as the pirate ships we'd encountered before, but a lot bigger. Information on the ship popped up, and I could see it was both a privateer and a bounty hunter.
"Over my dead body," responded Jenna.
"I can arrange that," said the voice. "The bounty is for dead or alive, with the same payment for either."
There was a pause. "So I see, is the bounty on you?"
Stop your engines, or we do this the easy way. No, we do this the hard way. The hard edge in Jenna's voice should have made him pause, but the arrogance in his meant he probably wasn't even listening. Missiles launched, and I started turning them around, although several simply exploded. I was on the last one when Jessica burst in. "What the hell are you doing?" The last missile hit our shields as I lost concentration. "Uh-huh. Stop mucking around. Just project a shield in front of us and then punch it at them after each launch." "Takes more energy to do. You have more. I linked every power generator on this ship and the unused ones on the other two all together into the one you were drawing from." Which explained the extra. If the shield hits the ship, the hull won't survive it. Do we care? How much bounty is there on these bozos? Not as much as on us, but it's healthy. And the ship is worth? Her eyes shone. What's your play? The remainder of the first set of missiles had hit the shields of the other ship, but they'd held. The next set of missiles appeared, making me wonder if they'd even wondered for a second what happened to the original ones, and this time I formed a wall of energy in front of them, and then hammered it forward at them. They all exploded. I let the wall dissolve. I looked Jessica in the eyes and grinned at her. On the seat in front of her, a double holster belt appeared, with a gun on each side. A second one appeared next to it. She looked down at the guns, looked up at me, and reached for the first one. It could be risky. Risk is my middle name. I buckled on the other belt. Jessica pulled all four guns out, checked they were charged, and ready to fire. Are we killing or stunning? Stunning, came through the comms. She re-pulled each gun and changed the setting. You know how to use these? Point and click. Not quite, but close enough. Do you need them? If we want them alive, yes. Dead, no. Dead is easier. Let's do it. I waited until the next salvo was launched and wiped them away, hardly even thinking about it. Now we could go, giving Jenna the biggest window before the next lot. Jen? Yes, Jess? Stick around. We're going to board them. So I lose my missile protection? We'll try and be quicker than that, but perhaps. Great. Have fun. The last sounded like it came through clenched teeth. I cast my sight across to the other ship, which was now chasing us. 6 on the bridge, 2 in engineering, 14 in 2 shuttles preparing to launch. I looked at the shuttles, found they had a single airlock, and turned the outer door into hull on each. Just to be sure, I merged the landing legs with the deck. Shuttles neutralized, I said. Engineering or bridge first? Shut down the power first. I stood behind her so my right arm was clear of her side, pulled a gun out with my right hand, waited for her to pull both, and put my left hand on her shoulder. An instant later, a shield formed around us. Jumping, I said. I chose a spot in the engineering section behind the two people and jumped us there. Jessica's guns spat 4 times and both went down. I looked at her. I'm an engineer, not a bloody marine. She started shutting things off. Go take the bridge. I chose a spot and jumped. Several people were shouting at the others. The moment I appeared, I started shooting. The pilot went down first, followed by the captain. Someone was fast to react, and she put 2 shots into my shield before she went down, with a surprised look on her face. The other 3 managed 5 hits on my shield between them and went down 1 by 1. I thought for a moment about what to do with them, grinned, and 1 by 1 dumped 3 of them into empty space on each shuttle. Jessica appeared behind me, puffing like she'd run the whole way. She probably had. She looked around at the empty bridge, nodded to me, and sat in the captain's chair. She studied it and pressed a button. Ship taken, Jen. Casualties? None, I think. You think? Thorn did most of the work. There are 2 sleepy heads in engineering, but no one else on the bridge. Thorn? I put them in their shuttles,
I forgot about the other two, though. I concentrated for a moment. Okay, all in the shuttles. They can't get out. The shuttles can't lift. Better check the shuttles for weapons. I looked around both shuttles, found a small armory full of them in both, and moved everything back to the room Jessica wanted to use as one. Just to be sure, I checked each person one by one and removed an assortment of small guns hidden on them. Done. Jess, do you remember how to slave ship systems?
Eggs.
Fine, do it, and both of you come back. The command in her voice said, don't dally, but now the shooting had stopped, and given how far away we were from the station, there seemed no reason to hurry. I watched Jessica set up the ship slaving. None of it made any sense, but there did appear to be some level of order to it. Jessica? She looked up at me. We should discuss what you're doing sometime. It might be useful if I can do that remotely one day. Her eyes went wide for a moment. Indeed. She paused, looking like she was thinking about something. Call me Jess. 28. Jess and I walked the whole ship, taking our time, looking for anything worth looting. Knowing Jenna would disapprove, we left the private cabins and the 20-person barracks alone. Everything of any value in the cargo holds was transferred over. I knew Jess was with me on this, as more than half of the suggestions came from her. Jenna informed us the salvage claim had been registered with the Bounty Hunter Guild, along with notification of bringing in the crew. Since the bounty was just for the crew, claiming the ship was a separate process. Regardless of the success of the claim or not, I intended to get some benefit through the cargo, which we could always claim had never been there. We were leaving enough behind to show they had some, as not having any would have looked suspicious. By the time we returned, Jenna had news. The bounty has been approved, and their security division will pick up the marks as soon as we dock. Apparently, the bounty on record is just the tip of the iceberg. This ship has been preying on this area of space for a long time, and no one was prepared to take them on. Even the system government is happy to see them taken out. She looked at me. Before we dock the ship, you'll have to return the shuttles back to the way they were. I nodded. When did we become official bounty hunters? 2 stations ago. I figured this was going to happen sometime and wanted to be official when we survived it. It also provides us the database of bounties, so I'd know if destroy was a better option or not. No point destroying when we can make a profit off it. If they hadn't surprised us like that, I'd have told you to try and take them, but it took me too long to get the details on them. She looked at both of us. Nicely done. I wish boarding operations were always that easy. Thorns are secret weapon. Even Jenna smiled at that. Jess and I returned to the other ship as we closed on the station, once more armed, and just before we docked, I returned the shuttles back to how they'd been. Peeking inside, I found all of them sitting where they could, looking unhappy. Silently unhappy. Jenna docked us first. When the airlock opened, there were a dozen large men there, all armed, and a big, wheeled cage. Next to them was someone in station uniform. Uniform waved the others in, and the leader motioned for us to lead the way. There was some confusion when we headed towards the shuttle bay, but they followed along behind us. Most of them had backpacks. At the first shuttle, the leader opened an external panel, plugged something in, and held a pad to his mouth. He informed those on the ship they were under arrest, pursuant to a bounty warrant with a large number, and they'd be required to exit the ship one by one, starting with the captain. If they resisted or refused to come out, they would be stunned. One of the men opened the external hatch, and 4 of them entered the ship. While the first one forced the inner hatch, the other 3 stood waiting with guns raised. The rest was anti-climax. They came out one by one from both shuttles, were shackled, attached to a line like I'd seen slaves before, and the whole group was led back to the cage and put inside. They all left, except for the uniform. "Your ship is docking at the next bay that way," he pointed. "I understand you claimed this one, so I'm assuming it will be yours. Station management is pleased with you, so docking fees are waived for the next week. If you sell the ship, they'll apply to the new owners from the date of sale. If you keep the ship, they'll apply to the next time it docks. For now, I suggest you lock the ship up and wait for the decision. The station management thanks you, and good luck." He left. We locked up the ship and walked around to the next docking bay. For the first time, I was able to see a ship coming in to dock from the station perspective. It was quite scary, seeing something so big coming so close. But there was no doubt about Jenna's skill as a pilot. The ship kissed the station so lightly, it was as if there was no connection. Jess was laughing at me. "What? The ship doesn't actually touch the station. It just looks like it does. Both ship and station have docking clamps which latch each other in a grab motion. The station then attaches various pipes to the ship, and the airlocks extend to form a soft connection around a hard ramp." "Airlocks? Sure. The main people airlock is up here. The front cargo bay airlock connects to a pure cargo level below us, and where ships have side cargo airlocks, station arms adjust to fit to them as well." "Fascinating." She laughed again. "You're proving you're new to space." "I am." Her laugh got louder. The airlock opened, and Jenna poked her head out. "Back in here, now." "Why?" "Don't ask, Jess. Move." We moved, and Jenna closed the hatch behind us. "Problem?" "Media on the way." Jess winced. "Someone leaked about the bounty being collected, and every news service on this station will be wanting interviews." She led us back into the ship. As we walked, I pondered this. The last thing escaped slaves wanted was their faces plastered on every screen for multiple sectors, and I needed to keep a low profile as well in case awkward questions were asked. The girls tossed for who did the cargo work, and Jess started listing what we were selling on the station sales system. Jenna and I went to the room, now being used as our intelligence computer room, and I concentrated for a bit, copied the station data drives to a waiting table, Jenna plugged them into our growing computer, and started her search for her remaining crewmate. The salvage decision came in the following day, in our favor. In the meantime, the possessions of the ex-crew were collected by authorities with me attending, and I'd done several station trips without using the airlock to leave and return by. With the ship now ours, we gathered to figure out what to do with it. "We sell it," said Jenna. "We bolt it on," said Jess. I said nothing. The girls looked at each other, then looked at me. "What?" "If I tell you where," said Jess, "can you attach the ship the same as you did the others?"
"Sure."
"Why do we want to?" asked Jenna. I would have thought that was obvious. "Jess, nothing about the situation we find ourselves in is obvious." "Maybe so, but the ship will double our missile capacity, both firing and storage, add a good deal to our cargo capacity, and gives us extra living space if we ever need it, not to mention the extra speed we can manage with another set of engines." "Priority on speed." "Of course," Jenna sighed. "Fine. As soon as the cargo is sold or brokered, we move out. I'll take us off the normal routes so we can do the connection unobserved." "Can I make a suggestion?" They both looked at me. "If there's a shipyard here, why not purchase whatever bots they use for hull work and internal work like changing the cargo system? When we turn up at another system with both ships combined, we can point to how it was done."
"Good thinking," said Jenna.
"I'm on it," added Jess.
29.
The hardest part of the whole plan was buying the two sets of bots. Together they cost much more than the ship had available to spend. Jess and I both transferred most of the cost of them to the ship's account. Easy come, easy go, and we lost a few hours waiting for them to be delivered. In the meantime, Jenna piloted our prize out beyond the range of curious eyes and flew back in a shuttle. Her own ship had a shuttle bay, but had never had an actual shuttle. Now she had two. Bots on board, we left the station and moved to where the prize was. Using a lot more power than last time, I carefully repeated the joining process under Jess's supervision. It fit nicely on the underside this time, along the center axis, its top to our bottom. This preserved the gravity all in one direction once again. Once the merge of hulls was done, I copied the hull bots three times, and all four sets went out to make all four ship merges look like a bot job. Once they were finished, Jenna put us back on course for where she thought Leanne was now. Jess concentrated on getting the new set of engines mixed and balanced, with me supplying the joining cables and relevant hulls. It kept both of us occupied for the best part of a day, minus breaks for sleep and meals. I found the whole process both interesting and boring at the same time. With the ship going faster with the extra engines, Jess had me copy the internal builder bots three times, and I watched her set up the needed parameters for merging all the major cargo bays into one system. To do it, she had to first create a single set of specs which defined the whole ship. Before the bots could begin, the relevant holes in hulls had to be made, since the bots were only designed for working with internal walling and not hull material. Jess made sure I was very, very precise with the holes. With the bots working away to Jess's satisfaction and Jenna haunting her bridge, I retreated to my space for sleep and found too much noise going on to be able to. I dozed between major bangs, rose and ate, and started reading again. We returned to something like our normal routine, and the days and stations went past in a blur. The only highlight was the testing of the new cargo system, which needed a little fine-tuning after a couple of containers on the move gouged some large holes in the wrong places. Still, given the botch-up job in the first place and not totally accurate ship plans, the system moved containers and pallets around very efficiently in the end. It gave us a considerably higher cargo capacity now, and at the next station, finding plenty of freight heading to our next destination, we deliberately filled all of it. In one of my stargazing sessions, I'd pondered the way Jenna was going about saving her crewmate. Instead of narrow focusing and speeding after her, she was trading her way around. It slowed us down, especially time on stations, but it did give us a legitimacy which would lose us in the movement of ships all doing the same thing. Unless, of course, someone was actively looking for us and paying off those with the information of where we were and heading. Jenna wasn't talking, but us being tagged by the bounty hunters convinced me someone was actively tracking us. I made sure I was awake for each new jump now, expecting to be attacked every time. We weren't, but I sure would rather be wrong my way than be in bed asleep when the missiles started hitting. So I was sitting in my chair, on my bridge, for the last jump to the next destination. The jump went fine. Nothing attacked us or challenged us, but the unexpected came from Jenna.
"Damn it!
What do you see?" asked Jess. "The ship Leanne is on is not only in this system, but heading out already." "Problem?" I asked.
"Yes."
I waited.
"Bloody ship is coming towards us."
I didn't see the problem, and said so.
"Can you jump on board while both ships are moving towards each other?"
30.
In theory, jumping while moving to something also moving was possible. I'd never heard of it being done, though, nor could I think of a situation for a battle mage on the ground to need to do it. Actually, that's not quite true. If a mage was on a piece of ground, which broke off on a bad slope and threatened to kill the mage, I'm pretty sure a jump would be attempted, but the other end would be somewhere safe and definitely not moving. And even that wasn't true, because in theory, a mage might try to rescue someone in that scenario, where the mage jumps to a moving person and jumps both of them to safety. But in both jumps, one end is stable. Still, it suggested a both ends moving jump was possible. And then I remembered. I'd already done it. With containers and pallets, but with one key difference. I was in one place, moving something else from a moving object to another moving object, but where I was moving with it. So it was still a jump from movement to stable, even if both were moving. It was also with something which didn't die if you got it wrong. The girls were looking at me. In theory, yes. They waited for me to go on. In practice, I don't think so. Why not? Asked Jess. We already did it. Which was true. We had. My jaw fell open for a moment. When we boarded the bounty hunter ship, we'd done just that. And I hadn't even thought about how dangerous it was. But actually, it wasn't the same, since the bounty hunter ship hadn't been moving at the time. We hadn't given them enough time to need to move, so they'd just thrown things at us from a distance. This was different. The rate of change of the range between the ships was high, as they came toward each other very fast. Did I really want to risk my life betting on if I could do it or not? "He's going white," said Jenna, matter-of-factly. "We made a mistake," said Jess. "Which one?" "We gave him time to think." Both of them chuckled, looking at my face. On Jenna, it made a huge difference to her normal expression. They could be right, though, and I was just overthinking it. "Okay," I said. "It's possible, but think it through." "No," interrupted Jenna, "let's not. As soon as you're in range, jump over, grab Leanne, jump back. What if someone else is there?" "So? They'll see us vanish. No one will believe them. All the same, no, keep it simple." "Too simple might get someone killed," said Jess. "Why don't we create a diversion?" "How?" I asked. Jess grinned. "If a key component in the main engines was to stop working unexpectedly, depriving them of most power for a few minutes, you could get in and out without anyone seeing. Show me." Jess pulled up specs for the ship in question, rapidly scrolled and zoomed in and pointed. "This. It's a small black box, regulating power through a key junction. They get replaced regularly, since if it fails, the result is chaos until you replace it. You replace it by first switching to the primary backup, but the design is flawed. If the unit fails, the primary backup is unable to work until the main unit is replaced, which is why it's always replaced long before it could possibly fail. How long will it take to replace? Usually a 5-minute job. In the dark, with possibly no gravity? Longer. No gravity? The junction supplies the gravity plating. While in theory, the plates will take a while after power loss to drop far enough people start floating around, but I'd give you maybe 2 minutes before it starts, give or take. Jess grinned again. I wasn't quite sure why the horrified expression on my face was funny for her. "Man up, Thorn. Pull something in the black box, wait for the ship to stop, jump in next to Leanne, jump both of you out again. Easy." "That's easy for you to say." "Of course it is. Nothing is impossible for the person who doesn't have to do it themselves." I didn't bother to reply. Instead, I turned away from both of them and walked back to my bridge. I think we finally spooked the poor bugger. I heard behind me. No, not spooked. Terrified. Okay, so here's my thing. I had a handle on the jumps, since I had done similar before. I just needed to be very careful about it. But I was a ground boy. I needed gravity to feel safe. The thought of floating around with no control was terrifying. The urge to get a drink and generate some courage.